Welcome to the deep dive. It is really great to have you here with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here.
You know, it's really easy for you to look at a modern high-tech factory and just assume the robots and the machines are, well, that they're doing all the heavy
No,
lifting.
totally.
Right.
You picture a massive assembly line today, and your mind immediately goes to the blinking lights. And
Robotic arms.
right, exactly. Moving with that perfect, unending precision, you see those pristine, glossy floors, and it is incredibly tempting to think that these facilities are practically running themselves.
Yeah, you might even look at that footage and just assume human beings have been completely engineered out of the process, like we've just been replaced by lines of code and hydraulics.
It's a very common assumption. I mean, we are constantly fed videos of these pristine, highly automated production environments, and we naturally conclude that the machine is the entire equation.
Right.
We think the innovation is entirely in the metal and the software. The reality on the factory floor is completely different. The machine is only half the story.
Which brings us directly to the mission of our deep dive today. We are looking at some really fascinating research and a comprehensive guide on machine operator staffing provided by RSS Inc.
They're an industrial staffing and recruiting firm.
Exactly. And our mission is to uncover the hidden human element that actually keeps the modern world running. We are going to explore why finding the right people to push the buttons, and as we'll find out, it's so much more than that, is actually one of the most critical challenges in manufacturing right now.
It really is.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the stereotype of the machine operator is completely outdated. If you ask someone on the street, they tend to imagine a person just standing there in overalls, mindlessly pressing a green button.
Right, just watching a conveyor belt go by while daydreaming.
Yes, but the research completely shatters that image.
It does. It fundamentally redefines the operator as the crucial control point between these complex mechanical systems and the finished products that actually make it to market.
That phrase is great. Control point.
It's vital because without the operator, the entire rhythm of the production line dies. They are not passive observers. They are active orchestrators of the manufacturing process.
So they're essentially acting as translators between the physical raw material and the machine's digital brain.
Exactly.
But wait, let me push back on that for a second. Isn't the whole point of spending $10 million on a smart machine so that the human doesn't have to be a tech genius? I mean, why can't these highly advanced systems just self-diagnose and correct themselves?
That is the million-dollar question, quite literally. While machines have incredible precision, they lack contextual awareness.
Okay.
So a sensor might detect a temperature drop, but the machine doesn't necessarily know why it dropped, or how that subtle shift is interacting with the specific humidity in the factory that day,
Oh, wow.
or even just a slight variation in the raw material batch. That is exactly where the operator steps in. If we look at their actual responsibilities they have to prepare these machines for production runs, which means understanding the baseline setup for very specific customized orders.
Right, so they're loading raw materials and then constantly adjusting micro settings like speed or pressure and temperature based on real-time observation.
Yeah, so they aren't just setting it and forgetting it. Not at all. A fraction of a degree off in something like plastics manufacturing can be the difference between a perfect component and a brittle piece of garbage.
That makes sense.
Furthermore, their duties go well beyond just feeding the machine. They are inspecting the finished products for defects and recording the production output.
And logging equipment performance too, right?
Yes. And perhaps most importantly, they are tasked with identifying mechanical irregularities before those irregularities escalate into catastrophic equipment failures. They are the first line of defense.
So it sounds like they're essentially diagnosticians for million-dollar equipment.
That's a great way to put it.
And the high-tech reality of this role is what really stands out here. In advanced manufacturing, operators are overseeing highly automated systems. This means they must be totally fluent in digital interfaces, complex sensors, and programmable controls.
It's not just wrenches and grease anymore.
Right, it's touch screens and digital diagnostics, interpreting real-time data streams.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, while automation is absolutely rising across the industrial sector, it hasn't replaced the human operator at all. Instead, it has simply elevated the technical requirements of their job.
Okay, so the machine might be doing the physical shaping of the metal or the molding of the plastic, but the operator has to speak the digital language of the machine to ensure it's doing it correctly.
Exactly. The human hasn't been removed, the human has been upgraded.
which perfectly sets up the massive problem we need to talk about next, the hiring crisis.
This is huge.
Right, because if you are listening to this and thinking, well, if you need a specialized worker, just put up a job listing on a website, increase the hourly rate a bit, and hire someone.
If only it were that easy.
The data from RSS Inc. makes it very clear that this is not a routine HR task anymore. Hiring these operators has become a major strategic workforce challenge for manufacturers across the board.
That distinction between a routine task and a strategic challenge is critical.
How so?
Well, a routine HR task is filling a position where the talent pool is deep, the skills are easily transferable, and a bad hire just means you have to run another ad. A strategic workforce challenge means the very survival, safety, and productivity of the organization are actively threatened by an inability to find the right people.
Wow.
And we are seeing several multi-layered structural factors that explain exactly why manufacturers are struggling so much to staff these factory floors.
Let's go through these structural factors because it feels like a perfect storm for the industry. First, there is a massive skills mismatch. As we just discussed, modern machines have a remarkably steep learning curve.
They really do.
Take injection molding, for example. If you're melting plastic and forcing it into a custom mold at incredibly high pressure, you can't just walk in off the street and know how to calibrate the thermal sensors.
Precisely. The equipment requires a level of technical familiarity that takes significant time to learn. You are dealing with thermodynamics, material science, and digital interfaces all at once.
Right.
And that leads directly into the second factor, the youth deficit.
Ah, yes.
The research explicitly notes that fewer younger workers are pursuing industrial trades. For decades, the societal push has been toward four-year college degrees and office jobs.
Right. Everyone was told to go get a bachelor's degree.
Exactly. And as a result, the pipeline of incoming talent who actually want to work in a manufacturing environment is shrinking drastically.
And while the incoming pipeline is shrinking to a trickle, the outgoing pipeline is absolutely gushing. The industry calls it the silver tsunami.
Yes, the silver tsunami.
We are talking about an aging workforce of incredibly experienced operators who have been doing this for 30 or 40 years. These are the people who can literally listen to the hum of a machine and tell you a bearing is going to fail in 3 hours.
That kind of institutional knowledge is irreplaceable in the short term. It is like trying to replace a master chef who cooks entirely by taste, touch, and smell with a teenager who has only ever used a microwave.
That is a brilliant analogy.
The chef knows exactly how the dough should feel. The veteran operator knows exactly how the machine should vibrate. And as these veterans age out and retire, they are leaving much faster than any replacements can possibly be trained.
So when you combine a steep learning curve with a retiring knowledge base and a lack of young apprentices, you have a structural crisis.
Absolutely.
But we also have to factor in the tough conditions, let's be real. The physical demands of the production environment, along with the realities of shift work, turn many candidates away.
It is not easy work.
No, you might be on your feet for 12 hours working overnight in a facility that requires ear protection and safety goggles. It is incredibly demanding.
And because of all these compounding factors, you have fierce competition. Facilities are locked in a total tug of war over the exact same severely limited talent pool. If there are only 10 qualified CNC operators, someone who actually programs and manages the computer numerical control systems that carve metal with microscopic precision, if there are only 10 of them in a 50-mile radius and 5 different factories need them, it becomes an absolute bidding war.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because skilled workers are so incredibly scarce in the open labor market, manufacturers are increasingly forced to train operators entirely internally.
Yes, they are.
They literally have to build the talent from scratch. They are taking raw recruits, paying them to learn, and spending months getting them up to speed because they just can't buy that ready-made talent on the market anymore.
Building talent internally is a massive investment of both time and financial resources. It shifts the burden of education from the trade schools directly onto the manufacturer.
Right.
And the catch is, while they are taking the months required to train these new operators, the production lines still need to run to meet client contracts. Mm. Which brings us to the very real immediate consequences of not having enough skilled people on the floor today.
Let's bring this right to you, the listener. You might be wondering, why should I care about an automotive parts factory 3 states away being understaffed?
It's a fair question.
Well, this disruption directly affects the availability, the cost, and the quality of the products you buy every single day. Manufacturing relies entirely on synchronized labor and equipment. If the synchronization breaks, the whole system stumbles.
It is a brutal domino effect. When that synchronization fails due to understaffing, the operational risks are not just theoretical. They are highly measurable on the balance sheet.
What's the first thing that happens?
The first thing that hits is production bottlenecks and delays. If one station on an assembly line is unstaffed or staffed by someone too inexperienced to keep the base late, the product simply isn't being made fast enough, the entire line backs up.
Which means the finished product doesn't get onto the shipping truck, which means it doesn't get to the distribution center, which means it is out of stock when you try to buy it.
Exactly. And on top of those delays, the factories face increased machine downtime. If an operator isn't there to catch a minor mechanical irregularity, like a belt starting to fray, the machine eventually breaks down completely.
So a 5-minute fix turns into a 5-day shutdown waiting for parts.
Yes. Then you have soaring overtime costs because the few qualified operators you do have are working double shifts just to cover the gaps.
And we know what happens when human beings work double shifts. Fatigue sets in.
Always.
This leads to another measurable risk, higher defect rates. When an operator is tired, their attention to detail naturally slips. They miss a subtle misalignment, and suddenly a batch of 10,000 components has to be scrapped. The quality of the product suffers immensely.
It does. But honestly, even more alarming than a defective product or a leaked shipment are the physical dangers to the workers themselves.
Yeah, we cannot understate the safety and damage aspects here. Improper operation doesn't just slow things down. It leads to actual catastrophic equipment damage and severe workplace safety incidents.
Industrial equipment carries inherent risk. We are talking about heavy machinery, high temperatures, chemical exposure, massive moving parts.
One wrong input on a touchscreen can send a robotic arm crashing through a safety barrier.
What's fascinating here is a specific, powerful concept detailed in this research. A production line may appear entirely self-sufficient and highly automated, but those machines still completely depend on human supervision.
Right.
Even the most advanced manufacturing systems require human interpretation and human intervention to operate safely. The data points to a chilling reality. Without skilled operators, these automated systems quickly devolve from productivity assets into dangerous operational liabilities.
I have to stop and highlight that phrasing. Productivity assets turning into operational liabilities. Mm. That means that $20 million automated assembly line a company bought to speed up their factory is suddenly a massive, dangerous paperweight, or worse, a hazard if you don't have a skilled human being there to tell it what to do, interpret its warning signals, and catch it when it makes a mistake.
It perfectly illustrates the paradox of modern manufacturing. The more money a company invests in complex, high-speed automated machinery, the more dependent they actually become on highly specialized human labor to ensure that machinery doesn't destroy the facility or the products it is making.
So who exactly needs this highly specialized labor force? When we look at the industries relying on these operators, it's staggering.
It touches everything.
We are talking about automotive manufacturing, aerospace component production, plastics and injection molding, metal fabrication, food and beverage processing, pharmaceutical manufacturing and packaging, and logistics automation.
It's basically the entire physical economy.
Right. Just think about your morning routine.
Yeah.
The plastic casing of your alarm clock, the precision machined engine block in your car, the perfectly sealed packaging of your coffee beans, the blister pack holding your vitamins. Every single one of those items required a different, highly specialized machine operator to exist.
And what is crucial to understand is the incredible diversity of the machinery across those sectors. The underlying workforce needs are consistent. They all desperately need operators. But the specific skills vary wildly from plant to plant.
Right. For instance, if you need a CNC machinist, that person needs deep, specific knowledge of precision tooling. They are working with microscopic tolerances in metal for things like airplane parts, where a millimeter of error means the part fails.
Exactly.
You contrast that with a packaging operator in a food plant who must constantly monitor high-speed automated conveyors, ensuring labels are applied correctly and seals are airtight at a rate of hundreds of units per minute. Two vastly different skill sets, but both fall under the broad umbrella of machine operators.
Because of this incredible diversity in machinery, the staffing solutions must perfectly match the candidates with the correct technical background. You absolutely cannot take a packaging operator who is used to watching conveyor belts and put them in front of a CNC machine without extensive, rigorous training.
That makes total sense.
This leads to the critical question of how companies actually navigate this and find these highly specific individuals amidst a labor shortage.
When a manufacturer realizes they have this talent gap, they basically have three levers they can pull to fix it. Each hiring strategy has its own operational impact. First, there is direct hiring, where the company's internal HR team recruits interviews and trains operators themselves.
Right.
The big advantage here is obvious. It gives the company complete long-term workforce control and fosters deep company loyalty.
But as we discussed with the internal training challenge, direct hiring takes a massive amount of time and internal resources. Mm-hmm. It is a slow process. So manufacturers also heavily utilize contract to hire and temporary labor.
How does that help?
These approaches significantly reduce the hiring risk. In an industrial setting, hiring the wrong person isn't just an annoyance, it is a safety hazard. Contract to hire allows a company to essentially audition a worker on the floor, observing their safety habits and mechanical aptitude before committing to a full-time hire.
Oh, that's smart.
And temporary labor is also crucial for maintaining production continuity during seasonal surges, like a toy manufacturer ramping up in October.
And then we have staffing agencies, which the research highlights heavily, particularly specialized industrial firms like RSS Inc. Partnering with a third-party staffing firm allows for much faster hiring and flexible workforce scaling.
It's a game changer for a lot of these plants.
Now, I think people often underestimate the sheer administrative mountain of industrial hiring. I used to think a staffing agency just forwarded a stack of resumes and took a cut.
Not at all.
But offloading this process is actually a massive strategic advantage. In this sector, they handle deep background checks, they pull DMV reports and driver's work histories for forklift operators, and they process all the specific medical paperwork required for physical labor.
The administrative burden in the industrial sector is immense, far more complex than standard office hiring. These specialized agencies also manage workmen's compensation claims, disability insurance, Social Security compliance, and even coordinate sick days and vacation coverage so the line never stops.
That's a lot of logistics.
By offloading that entire logistical nightmare to a firm that specializes in industrial labor, the manufacturer's management team can focus entirely on production yields and quality control rather than drowning in compliance paperwork.
Okay, so whether a company chooses to hire directly use contract labor or partner with an agency, what are they actually looking for? When you strip away the resume, what makes a genuinely great operator?
It's a great question.
The evaluation metrics prove once again that it is not just about technical competence.
Technical competence, a baseline familiarity with the machinery, the screens, and the processes, is really just the starting line. The evaluation metrics for a top-tier operator go much deeper into behavioral and cognitive traits.
Like what?
For instance, immense attention to detail is required. Operators must possess the focus to spot incredibly subtle production irregularities, like a slight change in the color of a plastic extrusion before they ruin an entire multi-$1,000 batch of product.
They also need advanced problem-solving skills. An operator isn't just supposed to hit the emergency stop button when something breaks. They often diagnose mechanical issues long before the maintenance teams are even called to intervene, saving hours of downtime.
Right.
They have to be incredibly strict about safety awareness because, as we mentioned, industrial equipment carries inherent risk, and a lax attitude towards safety protocols puts the entire floor in danger.
And perhaps the most fundamental metric of all, which sounds entirely basic, but is the bedrock of manufacturing, rock-solid reliability and attendance.
Just showing up.
Exactly. In a synchronized manufacturing environment, attendance is everything. Production schedules rely entirely on the operator showing up precisely at the start of their shift. Mm-hmm. If the operator isn't there, the machine doesn't run. The downstream stations starve for parts, and the synchronized labor system collapses.
That is a lot of pressure.
They also need high adaptability because modern manufacturing environments are constantly evolving. A factory might install an entirely new robotic arm over a weekend, and the operator needs to learn its quirks by Monday morning.
It really is a demanding, multifaceted role that requires a unique blend of mechanical intuition, digital fluency, and intense focus. So let's synthesize this entire discussion for you, the listener.
Sounds good.
The ultimate big takeaway from diving into this landscape is that manufacturing productivity depends entirely on the alignment between equipment capability and workforce skill. You can buy the most advanced machinery on the planet, but as these production systems grow more automated and technically complex, The organizations that invest heavily in reliable, skilled machine operator staffing are the ones that will actually sustain operational efficiency.
That is the core of it, yes.
Basically, the paradox holds true. As machines get smarter and more capable, the humans running them become more essential, not less. So what does this all mean?
This raises an important question. We've seen throughout this deep dive that there is a massive youth deficit in industrial trades. Young people are staying away from the factory floor.
Right.
Yet at the exact same time, the reality of modern manufacturing relies heavily on digital interfaces, complex sensors, real-time data interpretation, and programmable controls. The skill set has shifted from purely physical labor to cognitive digital management.
Which leads to a really fascinating, provocative thought for you to mull over as we wrap up today. Could the solution to the manufacturing youth deficit lie in the interfaces themselves?
Oh, that's interesting.
Think about it. If modern manufacturing environments are increasingly run via touch screens, sensor feedback loops, and complex digital inputs, what happens when the video game generation realizes that operating a modern multi-million dollar plant utilizes the exact same cognitive skills as managing a complex real-world simulation? Game.
The gamification of the factory floor.
Exactly. Will the gamification of industrial controls making a factory floor operate more like a high-stakes strategy game finally bridge the skills gap and bring a new generation back to manufacturing? We will leave you to ponder that connection. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.